Great. Well, it's great that you're connecting and engaging with us today. Thank you for doing that. Pastor Rachel's on holiday from today onwards. But what we've made a decision as a leadership to do is that only two of the three of us will be in the building at the same time at this moment. So if the worst was to happen, and we're believing it wouldn't, that we were to get COVID in the building, one of us was to get it, it means that one of the other leaders can be available to take over. So we're trying to put some wisdom in there. Josh is back, and Luma, of course, back from Brazil. So I can hear you cheer from home. Yeah, do you hear all that cheer?
Very quiet cheer.
Jean-Pierre was definitely there. So it's good to have Josh and Luma back, and Josh is going to join us. Josh and I started to plan this series in November, talking about sitting here, thinking about how we're going to do this. And so this is Josh's first time, and Esther's here as well. It's great to have two of the most precious people in my life with me. Thanks for joining us today. So today, Esther, in case you don't know, and Joshua are joining with us. Today is part six of Living the Best Life. And what we're going to be discussing is the subject of forgiveness. And we've entitled this subject, Let It Go. So Joshua, would you like to introduce our onion today and why we have this onion?
Yeah, so we've got an onion, and we've chosen onion because we're talking about forgiveness. And sometimes it's really hard to forgive people. And when you peel back a layer and you really look at the issues in your life, that layer can be quite tainted, and it's really hard to deal with that layer. And sometimes we take that layer off and think we've dealt with forgiveness, and then we're just revealed with another layer underneath. And that is hard, isn't it? It's hard to deal with things sometimes. So that's why we've got an onion. And hopefully today we'll be peeling back some of those layers.
And sometimes when we peel back onions, in the natural, we cry. And sometimes it's painful, the things that we work through, and there are tears. Okay, Esther, is there anything you want to add?
Just really that if there's something very deep going on in somebody's life, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're just going to forgive once off and that's going to be the end of it. Quite often, especially when there's childhood wounds, very deep wounds, perhaps abuse going on from childhood, it can take a lot longer, you know, and it's not a one-off forgiveness. It's a walk, a daily walk, and it's very hard, and it can be very deep. And I think also the level to which you acknowledge the pain and suffering that you went through, whatever that was or is, that's the level to which you'll forgive, you know. And so for a Christian, living in denial or unreality isn't an option. We have to live in truth. And sometimes that's acknowledging some very deep pain and inviting the Holy Spirit in to heal that pain.
Thank you, Esther. Yeah, we'll cover a bit of that a little bit later as well, I think, today. I heard years ago now an amazing story. I believe it to be true, and I'll try and share it accurately. But it's a story of a Christian lady who had one son, lived on her own, and her son was out one day, and another young lad killed him. The young lad went to prison, and she'd lost her only son. The lad that had killed this other lad, his whole family turned against him and had nothing to do with him. And this lad is now serving a sentence in prison. And obviously this lady is working through a pain, through a grief. And as the Lord ministers to her, she feels the Holy Spirit prompt her to connect with this lad, to start writing him letters. And she writes him a letter, and he won't acknowledge it. He won't read it. She asks if she can come and visit him. He doesn't want her to visit because probably he thinks that she's going to tell him what a bad person he is and how much she hates him and all that kind of stuff. And he just didn't want this lady to visit. But this lady persevered, and she connected with him. And she told the young lad, when she managed to connect with him, do you know, I just want you to know that God's helped me through this, and I've chosen to forgive you. And he was just amazed of this. And she regularly went to visit him and to send him food parcels and to send him gifts. When the time came for him to come out of prison, his own family would have nothing to do with him, and he had nowhere to go. And she felt, this lady felt, what I need to do is invite him to come and live with me. And she invited the lad that killed her own son to come and live in the house, and she cared for him, which is an amazing act of forgiveness. And I thought, wow, could I do that? But this lady was able to do that because the Holy Spirit ministered to her, helped her through her grief and pain, and enabled her to love this lad. So there is nothing impossible for God today. And today you may think something is impossible, but I want to say to you, I believe today this could be your breakthrough. This could be the opportunity for you today to move forward with God and for God to deal with some stuff in your life as some layers of that onion are peeled back, and you may have some tears as we're talking today or thinking about those things, but that's okay. It's good to cry. It's good to allow God just to minister to you. So thank you for everyone that was able to connect back with us and send us some questions from our Survey Monkey, not our Monkey survey, as we were told today. Is there one thing that stood out most to you in this study? What was it? And I've been encouraged myself by so many of you that have written back and said to me, Robin, I feel like this is becoming fresh and new again to me, not just for this subject, for discipleship, but being freshly encouraged to let it go and forgive. So I'm really pleased that you're able to do that. Telling people the truth and also forgiving people that you care for and love. Forgiveness of self or others, sometimes a daily or frequent thing we have to persevere with. You know, quite often the people that hurt us the most are the people that we love the most, the people that we invest our time in, the people that we want the best for, and all we're trying to do is trying to help them and to bless them and just see them, I suppose, be the best that they can be. And they're the ones that can hurt us most, and forgiveness, therefore, is a daily struggle. And there are times when there are all kinds of thoughts or circumstances that trigger memories of things that we've done wrong or that others have done to us. And I think the next response that was given to me today will really encourage us, and I'll just read that response out. This was sent as one of the things that stood out. Forgiveness is a choice, which is about you healing and moving on and being at peace, letting go and forgiving others and ourselves frees us from being held hostage in past events, allowing God's grace to empower us to move forward. And I think that is so good. I don't know whether any of you guys want to say, but you know, we can be held hostage to our past if we don't allow God to help us move forward. The past can dictate our future, but we've got to not allow our past to dictate our future. We've got to allow God to lead us into our future. Is there anything you guys want to say?
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you say it's a choice, because I find over time, your heart can get hardened towards things. And so for me in my life, one of the things that sort of helped me is in the morning, I'll have a 5 or 10 minute even just quiet time with God. And I'll just say, God, is there anything that you need me to deal with today? Is there anything specifically today that you need me to deal with? Have I had an argument with my wife that morning or with a friend in that week? And do I need to ask them to forgive me? Do I need to look at myself and say, do I need to do something different? So actually having that intentional time in your life is really a good habit. So that's something that's sort of helped me. And it's that choice you're choosing to go, you know, regardless of what that person has done to me, I'm going to choose to try and forgive that person. So it's a difficult thing to do, but it's a good habit to get into.
Yeah.
Quite often people can hurt us and they don't even know that they have, and we're carrying all this hurt and pain and they don't even know what they've done.
Yeah, that's true. Let's keep moving forward because of time. This was a great reminder to forgive ourselves thank you. I believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit was a beautiful gift in that talk, and I'm really pleased as I give these talks, and I ask every time that as I'm giving it, the Holy Spirit would just minister to you, to minister to us. And so as you encountered the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's great, and I'm so pleased that you're able to forgive yourself. And sometimes, you know, we have to give ourselves a break. We have to forgive ourselves. It's time to forgive ourselves. And maybe the past has held you hostage and you just can't forgive yourself. Well, forgive yourself today. God loves you. He wants the best for you. And his best is that you move on and in his strength you forgive yourself. Interesting point that I want to talk a little bit into, grieving the Holy Spirit, how by harboring negative emotions we can restrict the infilling, the growth and maturing of the Holy Spirit within us and therefore our relationship with God. It's so true that unforgiveness can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our friend. And he wants us to allow him to minister into our life. He wants us to give him time to minister into our life. And for me, it's really important. If I've been hurt or I know I've hurt somebody else, I'm saying, come Holy Spirit now. Would you come right now and just minister? And, you know, the Holy Spirit is patient with us. I'm so pleased that he's patient with us. I'm a lot more patient now than I've ever been. Isn't that right? But I didn't used to be patient, but he's patient. And you know, the day you gave your love to Jesus, Holy Spirit knew exactly how long it would take for you to forgive people. He knew the journey you would go on, and he would prepare your heart in order to you for you to be able to forgive others. And he is patient, and he will help us through that time. And sometimes peeling back that onion, it takes time. We can't always do the next level. We've got to wait. But it's where the Holy Spirit then starts to speak to us and puts his hand upon our life and says, okay, we need to deal with this now. And we choose not to. We say, no, I'm not going to. I'm not going to forgive that person. In the right time, the Holy Spirit will place it on your heart to forgive people. But if when he does, we choose not to allow him to help us through this and to choose not to forgive something, then we will grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. You know, if we refuse to allow the Holy Spirit in our life, we are not being like Jesus, who chose to forgive on the cross. You remember when we did communion? These are Jesus' words to the Father. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. You said about that earlier, Esther. Sometimes people don't know they've hurt us, but can really hurt us. I think Jesus says, if you're my friend, you'll do the things that I've done. You'll love each other. You'll love other people. And so for me, the fact that Jesus shows us how to and chooses to do it helps me to be able to do that. Also, I want to remind us, it's our sin that caused the Son of God, Jesus, to die on the cross. We caused him to go to the cross. You think, no, I didn't. But it was our sin that did. The sins of this world caused Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus forgave the worst crime ever, which was to him, to make him die on that cross. Jesus forgave the worst crime ever, which was to him. And so we grieve the Holy Spirit, and it does affect our relationship with God if we choose to live in unforgiveness when the Holy Spirit invites us to put it right. Anybody want to add anything?
I think one of the stumbling blocks is that we can feel that by forgiving, we're trivialising what has happened to us. And it's not like that at all. And in actual fact, what we're really doing is releasing ourselves, and we're taking that person off our little hook. We're letting them free. But they're still on God's big hook, if you know what I mean. They've still got to answer to God one day for everything that they've said and done. We all have to give an account of ourselves. So we're not trivialising the deep pain that we've been through by forgiving, but we are releasing ourselves in that sense.
Yeah. As we kind of said earlier, you might need to forgive somebody and they don't even know they kind of need to be forgiven. But you're the one that's carrying around that baggage at the end of the day. You're the one that's having to hold on to that. So the person who you feel like you need to forgive, they're going on with their life and things are fine, and actually you're sat there thinking, I've got to deal with this. So it's really important that you deal with it, because if anything, it's just stopping your own freedom in your life. It's becoming a stumbling block and something you might dream about at night. It might make you more stressed. So it's good to just try and deal with that to the best of your ability, really.
Yeah. I just want to confirm that. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you through the process. You don't need to rush into something unless you feel that God is telling you to do it. His timing is always perfect. And if he wants you to do something, he'll always give you the ability and the strength with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to deal with it. It may cause you to cry. It may cause pain to deal with it. But God will will enable you to go through that with his strength.
Say something else as well. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring these things up to our memory to torture us with the past. He does it to bring healing and hope and warmth and comfort to all the pain of the past. He's so gentle. The Holy Spirit is so loving and so gentle. It's not like going through some traumatic therapy. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes and he just cuts us free from the pain and the hurt of the past.
Yep. And that's what we were praying for people today.
You can trust the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
And we're praying today that this will be a marked, this Valentine's Day will be God's special gift of people moving forward. And that's what I'm believing for as we pray in a little while to do that. Others who trespass against us, Ephesians 2:8, by grace we've been saved, a gift, so that no one can boast, not by works. But it can feel strange that some think of Christians as superior or holier than thou. We must be careful not to appear judgmental, stuffy or disdainful. Remember what we've been saved from. I think this is so true. The Apostle Paul calls himself, this is the title he gives himself, the chief of sinners. I can identify with that. Can you identify with that? You know, he was a great man of God, and yet he calls himself not a great preacher, a great expander of the word, an evangelist. He says, I'm the chief of sinners. It's good to remind ourselves, each and every one of us, where we've come from. You know, how God reached down his hand to us in our life, and he lifted us up and he drew himself to us. The difference for us today is we're still sinners, as everybody else is, but we're saved by the grace of God, who's reached down his hand and he's lifted us up to him. And I think that is so good for us. We are sinners, but we're saved by grace. And it's important that we don't look down upon people. We don't judge people. It's not our place to judge people. Our place is to sometimes also reach down, lift them up and help them to know Jesus. And I think for us, you know, it's tough in a pastor's family sometimes, when I think you'll have grown up, Josh, and you've seen things that mom and I've had to work through and to love people. And hopefully you've seen from us that we've tried not to be judgmental of people, and we've gone out and we've tried to help people as situations they've found themselves in or where they've come from, and trying to lift them back up. But for you, Josh, I'll put you on the spot now. I just feel I should just say this. Growing up in a Christian family, but growing up in a pastor's family, is there something that you have seen where we as a family have been able to help people that have been quite broken? This is not about us, but how we've been able to do that as a family. Is there something that you can think of where we've helped people as a family?
I think what comes to mind more is actually where sometimes we can go out of our way to help people, mm-hmm. and actually it can seem like they reject that help, or they reject us. And I love what it kind of says in this scripture in Ephesians in 2:8-9, because it says, so by grace that we have been saved, a gift, so that none can boast. And it's one of the things that I've noticed, I think, for us as a family, actually what happens behind those closed doors, not what's on the stage here, is what's most important. So I think for us, when we've had an issue to deal with,
actually for us as individuals praying about it, praying about it with each other and also with the person that there is an issue with sometimes, that has been really, really helpful. None of it is to boast anything about us as a family or as individuals. What goes on behind closed doors between you and God is the most important thing.
Yeah.
What I've seen growing up, I've seen both my mom and my dad working with people who have struggled to forgive other people. But by showing that love to other people, is really beneficial in their life because it changes their heart. By us showing love to people and showing actually that we have a freedom in our life because we choose to love, it allows people to deal with that issue. So the more that we love other people, and we could talk about that a bit more because love comes from God, the more that we love other people, it also allows other people to receive that love and also then share that love with other people.
Yeah.
It's easier to forgive people out of that. So I'm not sure if I answered that question very well, but there we go.
Did very well. One of the things I just want to say, and I think you want to jump in a minute, Esther, is that as a church, when someone comes through the doors or we meet somebody that comes from a very different background to us and all kinds of circumstances that are happening in their life, let's offer them a lifeline. Let's reach down to them and say, look, I know somebody that could really help you. His name is Jesus. And so let's do that as Christians, as disciples, and offer people that are broken lifelines to be healed, to be made well, and to know Jesus.
And sorry, it's a little bit like signposting. Rather than actually saying, look at our life and we're good at doing this, maybe you should do this as well. It's actually saying, look, let's hand it over to Jesus. Jesus is the one that transforms our life. He's the one that changes us. And we'll show you how to do that. We'll show you how to engage with God and to love them regardless of their mistakes, regardless of what they've done wrong.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes and we all do things wrong. So it's really, really important to for people to understand we're all on an equal playing field. You know, none of us are above making mistakes, above unforgiveness. We have to accept that we're human. So
thanks, Josh.
I think, Robin, over the past 20 plus years when we've ministered to people on a one-to-one basis, the ones that struggle the most are the ones that have suffered deep childhood wounds. And whether that's mental and emotional abuse or some other type of abuse, because it changes the very core of their being. It, you know, at that very tender age when they're beginning to have an image and an understanding of themselves, the world around them and relationships, something steps in and, you know, they're abused in childhood and it changes the core of who they are. And so people coming in through the door that have suffered in this way, we have to show them a different way of living through love. And it is only love. It's only the love of God and immersing them in the word of God so that their mindsets change and they see themselves as God sees them and they relate to the people around them as as God wants them to relate and they make different life choices. And that just doesn't happen overnight. That's not a one-off forgiveness. It's, in fact, I think the pain in those situations can be so deep-rooted, they have to forgive to the level that they can face the pain, you know?
Then the first layer off the
end. Yeah, and then when they begin to acknowledge pain at an even deeper level, then that when that happens, then they forgive to that level and so on and so on. And it just doesn't happen overnight.
No, it is a journey.
It's a long journey.
Discipleship
sometimes
is a journey. It takes a lifetime. It is true. So there were some more questions now. Let's look at some of those. If you have bitterness in your heart, can you lose your salvation? Also, can we forgive someone who's been dead sometimes when you're reminded of the hurt they inflicted on you? Losing your salvation is an interesting subject. Can we lose our salvation? Maybe I'm going to side this question a little bit, but I certainly believe that we can lose out on enjoying our salvation when we have bitterness. bitterness can stop us enjoying our salvation. You know, when Jesus died for us, he died to set us free and to enjoy the joy of salvation, to enjoy being saved. But what bitterness can do is it can cause us not to enjoy being saved, not to enjoy that freedom from our sins and the past, because we're holding on to things of the past, and the past dictate our future. Bitterness will rob us of our relationship with God. It will stop us in our relationship with God. You know, the thoughts that we have will consume us. They'll take up our time. But Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to your enemies. Love them. Love those that hurt you. Bless them. Don't curse them. It's the very opposite of what we want to do. Our very nature is we want to get even. We want to get back. We want to expose them. We want to hurt them. But God says, love them. And this is why we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come today to help us in our journey. So part of this subject is let it go. Will you be willing to let it go today? Can we choose to forgive somebody whether they're dead, whether they're alive or dead? The only difference is if the person is still alive, we can show them that we've forgiven them. And perhaps it's easier in a way if they're no longer with us, that we don't have to see their face and be constantly reminded of past hurts. I think each one is individual. Do you want to add?
Yeah, I think that's a very individual one. But I think, yeah, we do still have to forgive those that have passed away and have hurt us, you know, before they died. And it's just as important whether they're alive or dead to forgive. Yeah. Yeah. And also, I think it can shut the door on sins that come down through the family. There can be, say, I don't know, alcoholism in a family. And it may be that, you know, great-granddad was an alcoholic and his son was an alcoholic and his daughter was an alcoholic. And it comes down the line, and sometimes we just have to forgive our ancestors for opening the door to that thing, that, you know, alcohol or whatever it happens to be, and put the blood of Jesus over the doorpost and the lintels through which that sin first entered into a family, in order to deal with it at a spiritual level as well as in the natural.
Yeah.
And also, rewinding back, you said, you know, if you have bitterness in your heart, can you lose your salvation? I'd like to just twist that slightly by saying, if you're saved and you take your salvation really seriously, what you're committing to is saying, I make mistakes, I do things wrong, other people make mistakes, they do things wrong, we're going to inevitably hurt each other. And so over time, we're committing to deal with these issues. We're not going to put it under the rug, sweep it under the rug. What we're going to actively, as part of my salvation, work through my issues. And as Esther said, it might not change overnight. This is a process. This can sometimes take time. But the more God releases you of things, the more you fall in love with God. And I feel like that bitterness goes away. And then when someone hurts us again, it's easier to forgive. So I think it gets easier when we start to peel back these layers. So, and we learn to react quicker. So when someone hurts us, we learn to forgive them quicker. We learn to go, it's not the best thing to just shout back in their face. The best thing is actually to take a step back and go, what is the wise decision in this? And so how am I going to deal with it?
That's good. And we've got the opportunity to do good to those that hurt us, to pay back good with evil, as Jesus did. We're going to move on to the third question. How do you totally forgive, Esther? Talk about a practical way of how do you totally forgive.
One of the things that can help is just to spend time in God's presence. And this is something that's helped me. And I said, okay, Lord, show me all the areas where I need to forgive. And to actually write a list of the people and the events that have happened, and to go and burn it or shred it or something. But just to say, okay, Lord, even if I haven't fully worked it through in my heart, I know I need to forgive. I know I need to do what's right. I know I need to line myself up with your word. And I'm choosing to do what's right. You help me with what I can't do. And so then to just go and shred or burn that piece of paper, you know, it's a symbolic thing of saying, okay, Lord, I give these people and events to you. Please help me to just totally forgive.
Yeah. Do you know, it's so important that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus at times like this. It's when we take our eyes off Jesus and look to people. You know, when we first give our life to Jesus, we're so in love with Jesus, we keep our eyes on him. And then what we do is we look at pastors or leaders or other Christians, people we think are so much more spiritual than us. And you know what? They let us down. And I'm sure I've let people down. But the most important thing for us is to keep our eyes on Jesus, because every other relationship is never going to be the same level. And people will let us down. But the most important for you today is to get your eyes back on Jesus and to trust him and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And if you're struggling through stuff, it is okay still then, having said that, to try and find people that you can trust, people that you know want the best for you in your life. And I want to encourage you on this discipleship journey. Find some significant other people that want the best for you, that will root for you, that will tell you the truth in love, and will just encourage you in God. And it's okay to share with them as well, some of those things. Take it to the Lord first, share with others, but find people that want the best for you and who love you. And everything else, every other relation will fall short of that relationship with Jesus. But you do need those people at times. But they will let you down. They won't always be there for you. But Jesus will. That's the most important. Okay, so Esther, does anything you want to answer about keeping your eyes fixed upon Jesus?
That's it. You can't do more than keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
Okay. So... when we choose to forgive and finally feel as if we have forgiven and found some peace, that there are times of hurt and anger that come back and we find ourselves forgiving again. So what I've put is, sometimes the enemy wants to continue to bring these things to our mind. We may have forgotten them, but sometimes the enemy knows if we start to think about those again, and he'll bring them back to our mind. Sometimes people continue to hurt us because they're hurting themselves. And we've got to remember that some people act out of how they have their environment, how they've been brought up themselves. And they continue in their life to hurt other people because they're hurting. And sometimes when people hurt us, to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, they may be hurting because of things in their past, and help me to help them through that and forgive them through that. Does anybody want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I'd like to add that having friends, having family, working with people in church, this happens in church all the time. People fall out and it's messy. We're messy as humans. We're very messy people. So I think one of the things that we have to learn to accept is we are going to get hurt again. We're not going to intentionally go out of our way to get hurt. So it's a sob story, but we have to accept that people are going to hurt us. And so I think that helps us to forgive people if we already go with the motion that when I go to this event or when I go to this, there's a chance someone could hurt me. And what am I going to do in that? It's almost premeditated. I'm going to choose not to react. I'm going to choose when I'm hurting, so rather than just to whinge and complain about it, I'm going to go to God about it. So it's that almost rewiring your thinking to go, this is I'm going to practically deal with this issue. That's certainly what's helped me anyway.
Yeah,
I've found as well over the years, just to say, why did that person behave in that way in that moment? Because maybe they were just having a really awful day. Maybe, you know, some terrible things have been going on in their family or in their life. And you can excuse people when you get to understand really what's making them tick and why they're experiencing what they're experiencing.
And we don't know the journey that they're actually walking on. We think we do. We think, well, they should know better by now. They've been a Christian since 1600 and frozen to death. But we don't know the pain that they've gone through. We don't know the journey that they're on. And we don't know what's happened to them that day. The phone call they've had, the conversation that we've had. And it's tough for people. But again, I want to say, sometimes through this, we need to offer lifelines to people. And to help them, as hard as it is when they hurt us. it's developing thick skin but a soft heart. And I think on our discipleship journey that is so important. Develop a thick skin but keep a soft heart.
Go on, you go first.
Also, just dealing with truth again, it's okay to go to somebody lovingly, not in an accusing or judgmental way, and say, do you know what, you really hurt me. And they probably say, I'm so sorry, you know, just to bring things out into the open, to talk it through. And they might say, oh, I didn't realise this, or this was happening in my life that day, and just resolve it that way as well. Because when somebody says sorry, it's easier to forgive them, isn't it? If they keep doing the same thing over and over again, it's harder then to forgive if they don't seem to care.
Yeah, that's true.
I forgot what I was going to say, so it'll come back to me in a minute.
Being a disciple, being a Talmid, that we're looking through this discipleship course, and thank you for everyone that's engaging and connecting with us. It's really important. It's a lifelong journey. We're learning new things. And as disciples, it's important we continue to learn. And we're learning through pain. We're learning through hardships. We're learning through difficulties. We're learning through COVID. We're learning to trust God in a deeper way. And this is an opportunity where whatever's happened in our life now to trust him. So practically, we're going to do something in a minute. But is there anything you want to add, Esther, before we pray? And Joshua, is there anything you want to add before we pray? Esther first.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we're not forgiving, we're actually sitting in judgment. And that's not a good place to be. And to actually spend time with God and say, Lord, show me where I've fallen short. Show me where I've hurt other people. Show me how much you've actually forgiven me for. And when we grasp the magnitude of how much God has forgiven us for, then it is easier for us then to release forgiveness to other people who have fallen short in exactly the same way as we've fallen short.
Yeah, in my office, I have a picture of Jesus carrying the cross through the streets. And the reason I have that picture, because I see how cruelly people treated Jesus. And he carried that cross. It's not the picture of him on the cross, although that really does speak to me. It's him carrying the cross, choosing to carry the pain for others. And for me, just Jesus chose to carry my sin and all the things that I would do wrong has been really important for me. And then Jesus says, I want you to take up your cross daily and follow me. So part of the daily and follow me is dealing with the pain that happens. And just as I forgive people, I want you to.
And that was what I was going to say, because it's not our duty to fix other people. It's our duty to point people to Jesus and to help them through that process. If we can be a help, and for us to be that help, but it's not for us to take on their unforgiveness onto our own life, being from that point of judgment where we have to say, you know, you should be forgiving that person. It's for us to show people how to forgive.
Yeah. So what we want you to do today is I just want you to, Luma's just going to play in the background. I just want you to still your hearts for a minute. I want you to imagine a big pair of hands, and I do this with a lot of people, which are God's hands. And I want you to place the pain, the things people have said, the things people have done. I want you to place them in God's hands at the moment. And then we're going to ask God to help us hand that over to him. There's some words that, you know, they say sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But stuff that people have spoken over to our lives have really crushed us. Place them in God's hands right now. Could you just put your hands out together, like God's hands, both you and Josh? But put them together, cup them together. That's good. As you do so now, I'm just thinking about the words people have said over you. They've rubbished you. They've told you you're no good. You're a waste of time. You'll never do any good in life. Who do you think you are? People, the lies that have spoken over you. People have told lies about you because they want to just attack your character. And they've been vindictive and they just want the worst for you and just want to destroy you. Just place those people and the words that they've said in God's hands. Then there's the physical things that have happened. The bullying, the abuse, as hard as that is. Already now the tears may be flowing. It's so painful. You're peeling back that onion layer. And underneath it, gosh, it really hurts. You're giving them to God now. And if you can say these words, say, Lord, if you can forgive the people on the cross and forgive me, Lord, I want to forgive them now. I'm choosing to forgive them, Lord, and to be obedient to your word and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I can't do this in my own strength, but today, in the strength that you give me, I choose to forgive them again. And now, Lord, I leave them in your hands. I leave those words, I leave those actions, I leave those deeds, I leave those people in your hands. As Esther said, that you will be the judge of all of us. We stand in front of you. Father, forgive them because they don't know, some of them, what they've done. If that's you today, just allow the Holy Spirit to minister. And Josh is just going to go and join the drum, play on the drums. And Rachel Lim is going to lead us in worship. This last song. You don't need to sing, you just need to listen to the words. Allow the Luma to minister to you right now. This is amazing grace.
Robin.
And God will give you grace.
Yeah, I just saw a picture then of people in the congregation with their hands cupped, and as you were putting the sins and the hurts and the pain that people have caused you into your hands to give to God, I saw like handfuls of rocks, lots of rocks in people's hands, just which is your pain and your hurt and your shame and all the things that have been done to you. But then I saw those rocks just go to sand, and the sand just slip through the fingers of the rocks that were being held just went to sand, and the sand just went through the fingers to the floor and were gone. And I really believe God is wanting to just heal and minister to people, that those hurts will just be gone, just like sand on the floor, it'll be gone.
Yeah, we pray over them today in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
We pray for freedom.
Yes, Lord.
For whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
Free indeed.
Amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for engaging with us today. Thank you for connecting with us. Thank you for all the nice comments that are coming through on this discipleship course. Thank you for all of you that are moving forward in your life and taking this opportunity to make the best of the opportunity we're in today. And the whole idea of discipleship course that we're looking at is so that we can move forward with God, to be more like Jesus, to behave like him, to be like him, and help others to do the same.